always without strings attached. It's something that he does on our behalf. So then what is divine healing? Are there really missing slides? And it's on the slide. Anyways, A.B. Simpson has a great definition of divine healing is the movement of God in a person's physical body. The very presence of God touching and healing our physical frame. Nothing more and absolutely nothing less than that. Is God doing what God will do? So what has this got to do with the King of Glory? Well, in the Old Testament, there was prophecy about a king that would come, about a Lord that would come, someone that would save his people and speak truth about the kingdom and about the message that he had for him. And there'd be all these signs and wonders that they could look for, things that they could watch for, ways of them knowing what would be happening there that would make things knowledgeable to them. I actually don't think I even have the scripture for that. No. I do, please. And we'll see how fast I can do this. Thank you. You know, it seems like every week there has been something that has happened with our technology. And honestly, I think the enemy is not liking our message series very much. And that's okay, because we're going to keep talking. Anyways. Old Testament prophecies that would speak truth about who the Messiah would be. And then one of the prophecies we're going to look at then is in Isaiah 35 that said this about who he would be. Strengthen the feeble hands, stay the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. When the Lord shows up, people are going to be healed. Now, in the Old Testament, there were prophets that had done healings. It was not unusual for a prophet to have a story of reaching out and touching someone or someone healing through God's work on that. But there was a different sense about this one. That when the Messiah come, that all who gathered round would know his healing presence. Physically, mentally, and emotionally would see what he was about to do and what that meant for them. Now the last prophet of the Old Testament, really he was an Old Testament prophet, but we don't see him until the New Testament, was a man named John, who loved the Lord, who'd been set apart at birth, to be a voice calling in the wilderness to speak the truth to the people that were there, preparing the way for Jesus' ministry to be coming. Crowds would come from miles around to hear John speak about repentance, the need to lay down their hearts before the Lord, to be baptized with water in a significant exchange of letting go. This voice crying in the wilderness that would speak and set the pathway for the Messiah to come. And as John's ministry continued, there was another man that began to do ministry at the same time. And even some of John's disciples left him to go follow this other man. It was a man and a cousin that had been born in a stable somewhere that seemed to be making waves and things were moving with him. Now, at one point, John ended up being thrown in jail. He got in a little bit of an argument with a man in power, and then put in jail. And I think in that moment, John had plenty of time to be in the quietness and wonder, had he done the right thing? Was this the right person that he started this for? Was he really the voice crying in the wilderness on his behalf? And so he sent people to go find out, do you fulfill the prophecies? Are you truly the Messiah, the one that we have been waiting for? And now I'm going to flip to Luke. John's disciples told him about all these things. Wait, is that where I want to be? Yes. And he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" A fair question for a man sitting in jail, wondering if his entire ministry had been for naught. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Oh, thank you. Okay. Not to set aside the Bible, but I am going to put that right there. Okay. Oh, man. John's wondering. All the prophecies in the Old Testament, are you him? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that has come to do all these things? And Jesus says, "Look at what I'm doing. Look at the healings that are happening." The story of Jesus' life was, after a while, he became so popular, people were dragging everybody in local around to see him. He would spend hours and days healing and teaching and proclaiming the good news of who he was and why he had come. Over and over and over again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the books of the Bible, are full of the things that he did. And then when he died and he rose again, he promised his followers that they would have the same giftings in them, that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon them and they would be able to do the same kind of things. And he said at one point, even more than the things that he had done. And the book of Acts is a crazy amount of accounts of that. We're reading the book of Acts right now with youth group, and it's unbelievable how often we stop and go, "Wait, what? That happened?" Like Philip being transported. First transporter thing in the Bible. A little bit like Star Trek, was moved from one place to another and had no idea why. Caught up in the Spirit and moved. And Jesus said that through them he would continue the ministry that he had done. At one point, John and Peter are taken in front of the Sanhedrin and questioned about this story that they're telling of Jesus, this good news that they're proclaiming. And they're threatened and told that they have to stop. It's not something that is okay for you to keep doing. And their response was to say, "We're not responsible to you, we're responsible to God." And then they went home, they gathered the believers together, and they prayed. And I love what they prayed. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your Spirit's servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God, give us the ability to speak the truth of your kingdom, why Jesus came, that he is our Savior, that he is our sanctifier, that he's everything that we need, and use us with signs and wonders and healings to demonstrate the things that you're on the move, to demonstrate what you are already doing. And it's crazy. Read the book of Acts. People would come out in the streets and lay in the streets so that as Peter's shadow passed by over them, they would be healed in Jesus' name. Demons were cast out. People were made whole. People that had begged for years were set free because of the work that Jesus Christ was doing in those disciples and through those disciples. The message of God boldly preached and the signs and wonders to accompany it. But the question is, who is this King of Glory? Does he still do it today, and does it matter? Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Healing is still something that he does. Now, I know what a complicated topic this is. One of the hardest things for me to work through with healing and God's choosing who and when he would heal happened when I was 24 years old and my mother-in-law got diagnosed with a cancer that 40-year-olds do not get. Teenage girls, yes. 40-year-old women, no. And we gathered as a family and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And the elders gathered together and laid hands on her and prayed for her. And God did not choose to heal her. I know we have stories like that, where we have come to God and we've asked for his healing and God has chosen not to heal. And then we are left with that complicated wondering about what God is up to. Because divine healing is something God does as a free gift to those he chooses to. So why some and why not others? I don't know that we have a concrete answer for that. And yet I know that God is a good God. That God loves each and every person. He healed my mother-in-law. He just took her home to heal her. And I'm okay with that. The human side of me grieves that. The trust in God side of me doesn't. But here's the thing. I know for as many stories we have of loss where God did not heal, I know that in this room alone we have stories where God has healed. Where God's done amazing things just by asking. There was a story I was told a few months ago about someone who had a memory of an incident that they just could not get past. And every time they thought about that memory, it destroyed them just a little bit more. And so they asked God, is it possible, weirdly, can you do this? Can you just remove the memory so that this is not something that I'm dealing with because I don't want to be stuck here anymore? They went to bed and they got up the next morning and they knew it was gone. Gone, not just a little bit gone. And at first they were kind of scared because you know you don't want to do that, checking out in your brain. Like maybe if I think really, really hard, I can find that somewhere in my brain somewhere. So for the first little while, they didn't do that little checkout part because they didn't want to think about what that was. And then finally they decided, you know what, whatever, let's just do this. And they honestly have checked out everything they can think of and it's gone. And the freedom and wholeness that they have now because that memory is no longer there is such a God intervention on their behalf. Yes, God's amazing. God heals. I was sexually abused as a child. My grandparents' neighbor had a swing in his front yard. You know, as an adult, I see why now. As a child, it was just a swing. I don't have all the memories that are there, and I know that, and I haven't asked God for all those memories. But I know that for me, God and I have been working on that healing for a very long time. Owning it, recognizing what it was, and watching where all the spider webs of it go. In my thinking, in my emotions, trying to process every level of that. And I thought we'd pretty much cover it all. Honestly, we're good. We've got this done. And my first week of the Arrow course, the Arrow Leadership course, is an amazing week. They tear you down so they can put you back together. Tearing down is not fabulous. But I had an amazing prayer warrior who was my leadership partner. And I think I've talked a little bit about this before, but I went to visit with her. And of course, I'd given my autobiography to them, which means that she knows this part of my story. The hard thing for me is that when everybody knows that part of my story and we're going to have a conversation about something, the first place they want to go is to that. And sometimes they don't have permission to go there. And so I'd ask people here to pray with me that as I went there, that I would be able to be in that conversation with her and that we wouldn't open that door if that door was not to be opened. And so we sat down and met, and we had a conversation, and she said, you know, I think we're supposed to go there. And I said, I think you're right. Can we give it 24 hours? So we left it, and we both prayed. And we came back together, and we just prayed. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we worked through. I didn't even know things I didn't even know we should work through. And I walked out of there feeling emotionally exhausted, mentally tired, and ready for a nap. And I had to go to class, so that wasn't great. I don't think that even made the biggest impact then. I mean, it was impactful. Really, it really was. And when I told my class at the end of the week that this was impactful and how amazing it was, they were all blown away by that. But what was more impactful was the months afterwards realizing all the different places that God had healed that I didn't even know were broken. Thought processes that I'd had, beliefs I'd had about myself, stuff that I didn't even think tied to this central thing, all of a sudden were gone. And I spent months going, oh, that's weird. I don't do that anymore. Oh, I bet you it's that. Oh, that's weird. I don't think that anymore. Oh, I bet you it's that. An incredible mental and emotional healing that I couldn't even know I needed to ask for, but through faith did. And God healed. I'm going to ask someone else to come and share their story of healing with you. Greg, would you come now? Because you need to know that just for all the times that we don't understand what God's doing, God still heals. He's still on the move. I need this.
I'd like to share with you a story of God's physical healing that he did for me this past summer. And I've written it down just so I can be hopefully more clear and accurate as to how it unfolded. Just so. Several years ago, I had a small growth appear on the right side of my face. My doctor told me it might be a concern if it gets larger and that I should keep an eye on it. He also told me I should wear a hat when I'm in the sun. I had planned a vacation to the Norwegian Arctic just this past July and was very much looking forward to the trip. But a couple weeks before my trip, the tumor started growing quite noticeably and was very irritable. I decided that I would just have to wait until after my vacation and then deal with it. I should also mention that I had a tumor on my back about 5 years ago that had to be removed, and this one on my face appeared to be quite similar. So I started my vacation, and one afternoon during my vacation in the Arctic, I was bothered by this growth on my face, and I was thinking quite a lot about God as the healer. I was praying to God about this, and I asked him, "So, Lord, are you still in the healing business?" And then I asked God, "Lord, will you heal this blemish on my face?" I placed my hand on my face and asked God to remove this tumor and just get rid of it completely in Jesus' name. Oddly enough, on the next day, this tumor started bleeding. It looked pretty bad. I was surprised but not upset because I just felt that God was changing something. I got through that day, and then on the following morning, when I woke up and looked in the mirror, the tumor was completely gone, and there was no scar. I could hardly tell where it even used to be located. And this was less than 48 hours after I'd prayed for that healing. I was very thrilled. What an amazing thing the Lord had done for me. Not because I deserved it, but because of his mercy. So, in summary, my summer vacation to the Arctic was a wonderful opportunity as I saw glaciers, icebergs, walruses, and even a polar bear. But the highlight of this trip was definitely that God, in his mercy, had healed me.
Yeah, we have that. Thank you, Dave. You know, one of the reasons that we offer prayer up at the front every service is just for that. Yes, we'd love to pray with you with your concerns for family and for finances and for all those things. We'd love to pray for you to accept Jesus into your heart and mind. We'd love to pray for you on your journey with sanctification, that process of being made new, and confession. But we would also love to be able to pray for you for healing in the places and spaces that you need healing. You know, there's a couple of verses in James where he talks about this. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I mean, we could do a whole sermon on just that. Sometimes it is sin in our lives that needs to be confessed so that God can heal. But we need to be bold enough to come and ask. Ask the God of the universe to heal. It was interesting, as I was preparing this sermon, I felt like this story kept coming back to me, and so I'm going to tell it to you, and I don't really know why. But every time I was thinking about this and thinking about prayer for healing and asking God to heal, I thought of stories of my daughter who broke her foot, who asked the elders to pray, I think, 3 or 4 times. And every time we saw a little more healing in there. I've heard stories of people that were completely healed immediately, but I was thinking about that time when Elijah was on a mountain. Anybody know this story? There had been that whole confrontation between him and the other priests, and he won, and God was amazing, and it was awesome. And then he climbed to the top of a mountain, and actually he told Ahab before he got up there, he said, pray, or get ready, because the rain's going to come. And God had told him to go pray for rain, because there had been no rain. There had been this long drought in Israel. So he climbs to the top of a mountain, and he gets down on his knees, and the Bible says with his head down on the ground, he prays and asks God to bring rain, just like God asked him to. So he prays. And then he says to his servant, go and see if there's any clouds in the sky. Fair enough. The servant goes, comes back, and says there's none. So Elijah got back down on his knees and prayed again. And gets back up and says, go and see if there's any clouds in the sky. And goes, and no clouds in the sky. And he gets back down and prays. Go and see, no clouds, and praise. Go and see, no clouds, and praise. Go and see, no clouds, and praise. Praise is God's asking him to pray. Praise is he's being led to pray. Not one time, not 4 times, but 7 times, praying the way God asked him to pray, on his knees, praise. And the 7th time when he gets up, says, go and see, the servant comes back and says, I see a little tiny cloud, and Elijah says, run, because the rain is coming. If you know in your heart and your mind that you're supposed to be asking God for healing, then pray. Pray and keep coming back in prayer. You know what would be the coolest thing in this church? As if our elders were literally having to book appointments because they're so full of people that are asking to be prayed for. On Sunday mornings, it would happen in this space. Weekdays, it would happen. That we would be a people that would rise up around each other and pray because the God of the universe that sent Jesus is our Savior, our Sanctifier, and he's our healer. And we have every right to come and ask for his healing on any level that we need.